I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Parables are tricky things. Jesus taught a bulk of the time that he was on earth in parables, in these short little stories that are at the same time outrageous, incredible, hard to believe, beautiful, right? All of it wrapped up into one. And parables are these stories that Jesus uses to show us what God is like, to show us how the world actually works, to show us what God is doing in the world. Parables are not factual, per se. They're not stories of history or things that have maybe actually happened. But parables are deeply, deeply true. In the last few weeks, we've been dealing with some of the trickiest parables that Jesus told. It seems like every week we get another one of those parables that on first reading makes you go, what? What is Jesus talking about? What does this mean? I think if we dig a little deeper on these parables, and especially today's parable of the talents, we see that there is good news in them. We see that perhaps on second and third reading, we can see what that deep, deep truth that Jesus is trying to tell us actually is. So the parable Jesus tells today comes right after the parable from last week, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And these two stories come in the middle of Holy Week. So Jesus has gone to the temple and caused a stir, and now he's talking to his disciples for one of the last times before the crucifixion. And so we can think of this story as kind of the locker room pep talk before the big game, or maybe the final lecture before the big final exam. This is everything that Jesus wants to tell his friends, his followers, before he goes. And so he tells this story, the parable of the talents, another story about waiting and expectation, kind of waiting for the return of the master. And there's two things you really should know before we start this parable. The first is, what is a talent? A talent in the time of Jesus was a monetary unit of measure. And we can estimate that it's about 15 years worth of daily wages for a laborer. It's just an incredible amount of money. One talent is 15 years wages. And so for Jesus to be using that sum of money, and in the sums that he talks about, would have just been outrageous to the people that heard him. I mean, 10 talents, it's incredible. It's outlandish. So that should give us a clue about what's going on here. And the second thing I want to say before we kind of dive into the parable is that this is not a parable about productivity or doing more for Jesus. Unfortunately, in the West, we can kind of get trapped in that mindset of productivity and kind of think everything is on us to do things for God. That's not what this parable is about. Jesus didn't come to give us a to-do list. If anything, Jesus came to tell us what has been done, what he has already done. That's why on the cross, the last thing he says is, it is finished. The to-do list is done. So when you hear this parable, please, 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 don't hear it about doing more. You know, that you need to get out there and do more for God. Because that's not what it's about. So what is it about? That's the question. So in the parable, we have a master who's going away. And he leaves his property, his wealth, in the hands of three servants. He gives five talents to one, two talents to another, one talent to another. And the first two go out and trade and spend and invest and kind of put the money to work, right? They keep it in motion and they double what they had. But the third servant is afraid of the master. He's heard all these things about the master, and so he's terrified of losing what he's been entrusted with. And so he goes out in his yard, and you can imagine him with a little shovel, kind of sweating and nervous, digging a hole, burying the money, and just waiting for the master to return. So the master does return, and the first two servants report back what they've done. They've doubled their wealth, doubled the master's wealth. And the master says, well done, good and trustworthy slaves. The Greek actually means more like faithful. Well done, good and faithful slaves. Enter into the joy of your master. And to the third one, who comes and says, I hid your money. I didn't lose anything, but I didn't make anything. I kind of hid it. The master has a harsher reaction. He takes a harsher tone. And he says something really interesting. He says, it would have been better for you to have been put my money in a savings account so I could have gotten kind of rock bottom interest on the money than to just bury it in the ground and do nothing with it. It's as if he's saying it would have been better for you to put it in motion a little bit, to keep the gift moving just a little bit, than to hoard it and bury it in the ground. And he takes it a step further and says, you're cast out. He takes what he has and gives it to the one who already has 10 talents and says, this slave is gone. Cast him out. Parables are tricky, tricky things. And when we hear that, especially that last part, kind of can raise some flags for us. That doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't sound like Jesus holding the lamb and welcoming the children. It's troubling. And so it's worth remembering again, these parables are stories. And they're meant to be outlandish and ridiculous. They're meant to show us kind of the foolishness of the world and what God is like. And so I think what comes out of this parable for me, again, is not productivity. It's not about doing more. It's really the theme that has been in the last several weeks of parables. And that's the theme of faith versus unfaith or lack of faith. Because the one thing that we are called to do by Jesus is have faith. Have faith in him. Have faith that when he said it is finished, he meant it. And that we don't have to work. We don't have to try and kind of outrun ourselves. We don't have to try to earn anything or prove anything. That it's been handed to us by Jesus. So this parable shows us a master who's really not concerned with numbers at all. Isn't that fascinating? The master seems utterly unconcerned with maximizing his return, which is what our Western American minds go to immediately. There's two things that Jesus adds in here that kind of show this point. The first is when he tells the third slave that it would have been better for you just to put my money in a savings account, and I could have gotten the rock bottom, whatever, 4%. It's not about the number. It's about the movement of the gift. It's about getting it out and having it circulating in the world. And the second thing is even more fascinating and can be a little disheartening when you first hear it. But the master takes the one talent from that third slave and gives it to the first slave who already has 10 talents. It's not fair at all. And it shows us that it's not about the money. It's not about the number. It's about the abundance of the gift of God. It's about the abundance of the grace of God. There's no number counting anymore. There's no bookkeeping anymore. There's only faith or lack of faith. You know, the only bookkeeper, actually, in the whole story is that third slave who's so caught in his head and so afraid of an audit that might come that he sits on it. He just sits on his money, doesn't do anything because he's so terrified of what he thinks the master is like. I wonder how many of us are the same way. We have all these notions of God, all these notions of what we think God is like. We're all afraid of an audit that might come, that we're frozen. The lesson of the parable seems to be that that's not the point at all, that the bookkeeping is over. The audit has already come. And we've all been judged enough, worthy, because of what Jesus has done. So there's one thing that's very interesting, a little line in this parable that you could miss if you're not watching, and it's when the master is kind of giving his attaboys to those first two slaves, and he says, enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. And this picks up a theme that's present in most of the parables of Jesus, the joy of the master, the party, the banquet, right, the celebration. Jesus comes back to this theme over and over again. We see it here. We see it in the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. The wise bridesmaids are welcomed into the wedding banquet. We see it in the story of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son is welcomed home and a huge banquet is thrown and the father is so excited and joyful. And so we see the first two servants are in the joy of the master. It's the joy of the master that we keep the gift going, that we trust him, that we have faith, and that we step out in that faith. But then there's the other ending, that troubling ending of this passage. And that's the people that refuse to go into the party, the people that aren't at the banquet. It's the 10 foolish or the 5 foolish bridesmaids who don't go into the wedding banquet. It's the older brother in the story of the prodigal son who stands outside of the party, kind of with his arms crossed, because the bookkeeping he's been doing in his head doesn't add up to reality. It's not what he expected. And we see it here with this third servant who's thrown into this outer darkness that represents separation from God, represents selfishness and lack of faith. The tricky thing about parables is that they show us how the world really is. And it's tricky because the world is not how we think it is. Because God is often not who we think he is. Often we're like that third servant who's got all these ideas and it's just kind of trapping us. And so we bury the gift of God. What God wants from us is joy. What God wants from us is to keep the gift moving. What God wants from us is to trust that the talent we have been given, the gift we have been given, is free. And the response to that is to keep it moving, to share it. Craig Camille said in our Bible study on Monday in the School of Faith, just a brilliant line that I want to share with you. He said, "There is no such thing as a negative return. There is no loss in God's economy." And I just think that's brilliant. That's the good news. That's the good news of this parable and the good news of the gospel. The poet Mary Oliver says it this way: you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal body love what it loves. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Parables are very tricky things, and we can get caught in our heads and get caught in the fear of the audit that might come, caught in the fear of losing what we have or what we've been given. But parables are here to show us how the world actually works. And this is how the world actually works. God is not mad at you. God is not mad at you. You have nothing to prove. You have nothing to fear from God. All you have to do is to give grace to the world. All you have to do is keep the gift moving. Show grace to those who don't deserve it because you were given grace when you didn't deserve it. Show mercy to those who absolutely don't expect it or deserve it because you were given mercy. Show love to all those who you meet, stranger, friend, family. Show love because God loved you first. This is how the world really works. We've all been given gifts and talents. We've all been trusted with things from God. And the joy of God, the joy of the Master, is for us to keep those gifts moving, to let it flow. The audit is done. The bookkeeping is over. You are enough. Amen.